The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
More than 8,000 years ago, a being came from the heavens with the main purpose of spreading Rakan script throughout the universe. At the age of 8, it obtained the powers to see beyond the living and into the realms of the dead. This is what it saw, and this is what it said. I saw one Bugman the other night. Lord, it was drunk and high as a kite. It didn't do for time, the head was bald. I saw Bugman the other night. Great God, the Bugman I saw that night. Lord, it was drunk and high as a kite. It didn't do for time, the head was bald.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Welcome back. Welcome. In fact, can't say welcome back because it's the first day on air for the new year. It is Friday, the 2nd of January, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And joining me in studio this morning, we have Crystal Darling Sargent. Good morning, Crystal. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm great.
Good, good. We got a lot.
Happy New Year.
Happy Haitian Revolution anniversary. 1st of January. Yes.
All right. There's that too.
See, not everybody celebrates New Year's on the 1st of January. In fact, to say it plainly, celebrating New Year's on the 1st of January is a white supremacist idea, right? Day before yesterday, I called it Christian because that's a euphemism for white supremacist sometimes. But the point is this, is that indigenous cultures across the globe all celebrated the New Year at a particular time that aligned with the cycles of the planet, right? Like when the new things sprung up out of the ground, that's what they call the new year, right? Across the globe.
Very interesting.
Communities who could not commute.
Because we do celebrate New Year's in the middle of winter.
When when everything is dead and sleeping, right? And we don't even celebrate it as, listen, we're walking in, we're about to wake up and walk into the new year. We don't even celebrate it like that, right? In fact, we celebrate it like we're celebrating a dead thing. We're celebrating the end of the 2025, right? A dead thing. January 1st also marks the anniversary, with the date we recognize, right? The Haitian Revolution as well. Chinese brothers and sisters celebrate a Lunar New Year, right? Mm-hmm. Across the world, there are all kinds of different cultures, and they reconcile, right? They locate themselves in the world in a different way. The way that we're doing it right here is a European, not just a European way, but more particularly a white supremacist way, right? Why? Because European people had indigenous culture too. See, that's the, I don't want to say it's not fascinating, right? But that's the amazing thing that's fascinating to discover about these systems, imperialism, racism, capitalism, right? Because did you know that indigenous European people would have suffered similar, if not the same, fates as indigenous Africans on the continent, right? When we talk about those periods of what we call witch burning, right? Mm-hmm. And we know about the Salem witches, that period that moved across Europe, that swept across Europe, and they wiped out, they genocided all of the practitioners of indigenous culture, all of the practitioners of indigenous medicine, all of the keepers of history, of myth, and of law, L-O-R-E, right? And natural law, L-A-W, right? And so European peoples, indigenous European peoples, also suffered and suffer under white supremacy. That's why it's important to make a distinction between race and ethnicity or ancestry, right? Mm-hmm. They are two separate things. Ancestry, DNA, your lineage is immutable. Mm-hmm. It does not change, right? Race is mutable. It changes over time, over geography, over language, over culture. When I went to Zambia in 2019, everybody them called me white girl.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, I was asked a similar question, the strangest question I was asked in my life by this, I think this guy was from like East Africa. He was like, what color are you? Or what are you? Like, you're not black.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yes, I am.
Right.
And he was very confused because he couldn't place what ethnicity I was based on the way I looked. And it was so strange because I'm like, it's very simple.
And you so know, like,
you can look at me and see anyone on this side of the world would know. But I don't know. It was just a strange question nobody ever asked me before.
There's so much.
I was a little taken aback.
It's so much that imports into it, right? Because it was not just that I got this light bronze skin, right? It was also the way that I dressed. I dressed like an American, right? And so even then, it's the difference in skin tone between me, who's obviously of African descent, mm-hmm. and the majority of the people native in Zambia, right? But also the style of clothing that I wore, the way that I spoke, right? All of that is constructed. I went to Jamaica, and without speaking, somebody say, you look like you were Bahamian. I didn't even speak yet. It's the way that you dress as well as the way that you move.
Oh, that may be a part of
right?
it, too.
You don't dress like a typical Jamaican woman. So it's very interesting, but it's very important for us to understand, especially like if we're having a conversation about Junkanoo, right? We're talking about a practice of people of African descent, mm-hmm. right? Not all people who identify as black identify as African, right? Not all Bahamians see
hold
a con-
okay, yes. Aaron. I think there's a little bit of fact and logic that rolls into this.
No, because race and ethnicity are two different things. Race is a construct. To be black is more than just your skin color. Being black is about culture. It's about language, right?
Mm, okay.
It's more than just the skin color. It's a construct, and the construct changes. So
we also have to be very careful with that, too, though. Because there are some people who are, actually not.
We are being careful about it.
And they identify as, and it's just like.
But we have to be sensitive when we're talking about it. Because just because we're discussing something that we could pick up off a table and hold in the mm-hmm. air, it doesn't mean that people don't see themselves, right, in mm-hmm. the discussion. And people may feel like we are talking about their specific personal experience. So we got to be sensitive when we talk about it, and careful, but we have to talk about it. We have to talk about it. What does it mean to be black in the Bahamas? What is a cultural celebration? How do we determine what is the premier cultural celebration? And how do we determine the allocation of national resources? Right? This should be a collective national exercise where we as a group determine that this thing, say, call it Junkanoo,
mm-hmm. yeah.
this thing that is primarily African descent, it comes from not just the tradition of Africans, but the experience of Africans in the New World, right? We have to talk about it and determine, do we want to, for instance, the number that was thrown around last year, conservatively, are we prepared to extract $30 million plus dollars every year from our economy for this mm-hmm. particular celebration? Would it be, Would it actually be a better cultural investment to invest that money in rake and scrape? Because rake and scrape is practiced mm-hmm. across ethnic groups and across islands, right? Mm-hmm. What the Junkanoo National Junkanoo Festival Committee intends to do is to enable the practice of Junkanoo throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas by providing resources, financial and technical resources. But not every island celebrates Junkanoo the same way. And not every island celebrates Junkanoo. But I think we see a greater presence of rake and scrape throughout the archipelago, right? Have we had a national discussion where Bahamians, whether of African descent or European descent, or for the vast majority of us, a mix of both African and European descent, have we mm-hmm. been enabled? Have we allowed a conversation for us to make these determinations? And usually the way we determine whether we're going to have a conversation or not is rooted in our perceptions about race and culture and who belongs in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. I think we are very politically correct with this because we feel a certain way about things. And I think when it comes to talking about ethnicity and cultural background and race, the lines are very blurred because we have so much of, and I think we spoke about this before on another show, like it's so blurred because the Bahamas is a melting pot in every sense, you know? And when we talk about Bahamian culture, going back to Junkanoo, Junkanoo is one of the first, if you ask anybody, what is Bahamian culture? Junkanoo is going to be in the top three things that they list on that. You know?
But is it because Google has optimized it though?
Like, no, is that right? No, it's been like that. Like from since I was a child.
When were you a child? You were a child in 1992.
Before Google.
You were a child in 1992. I'm saying we are both cheering in this discussion,
yes.
Right?
So yes. And so when you talk about Junkanoo and culture and who defines culture, because Junkanoo was something that was invested in and in a sense curated. If you look at how it was originally, you know, and it poses a question like, would Junkanoo have been as big, or would it have still been practiced if we had not invested in it, but government wise, if the state had not stepped in and said, this is something we want to preserve? There are a lot of dying things,
did
like
they,
you said,
hold on, pause.
Like some
step
music.
In. I got you, but did the state step in and say they wanted to preserve it? I don't think that's what's happened.
I think it was like an economic...
It's a tourist...
Yeah.
The state said, come in, let's give you all some money to grow this. The question is, what did they say? Did they say, let's work together to grow the culture and preserve it? Or did they say, hey, listen, you see these tourists right here? It's money.
Yeah, I mean, then the outcome is the same. You know, I'm not talking about the intention or like what they did. But, you know, I think because the majority of Bahamians now are Black, there's like this whole, and then, you know, coming out of like independence and like this nationalism and everything, we kind of don't know. It's very confusing, our identity, when you talk about Bahamian identity, because we have so many groups of people who are now Bahamians who are not Black. And some families were here longer than even the Black Bahamians, right? Then you talk about all the different types of, and this is why I said it's so confusing, because you talk about ethnicity and then you talk about culture. So ethnicity is like European, Black, African descent.
Ethnicity is African.
Yeah, African,
European, Asian. And then when we get into Asia,
also,
we have to break it right down.
And also the Native American, because that's or indigenous, because that's also a part of it. Mm-hmm. And we have our own traditions and practices that come out of those things. However, you also have the influence of like Greek, Spanish, Native American too, if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, and red base. Let's talk about it.
Yeah,
red base. Hold on.
It's a whole culture, but it's dying.
Hold on. Red base, Andrus, North Andrus, Native American culture, the Greeks, right? Crack conch. We just start right there. But not just crack conch. a broader cultural, I don't want to say cultural expression, but the Greeks are premier restaurateurs in this country, mm-hmm. right? Premier culinary culture, service culture, right? Mm-hmm. That's what the Greeks bring. We've had Asian, we've had Chinese people mm-hmm. in the country for hundreds of years. Yeah. We've had Indian, Asian people in the country mm-hmm. for hundreds of years, right? And you can mm-hmm. see, in other ways, you can see how they have imported into mm-hmm. Bahamian culture, right?
So let's add. You can't forget the Caribbean people. So this is where it gets more complex. Haitians, Cubans, Bajans, Trinidadians, Jamaicans.
So let's look at let's put up the three categories now, right? So we mm-hmm. have what is ethnicity. Mm-hmm. Are you of African descent? You of European descent? Mm-hmm. We have race, right? The color of your skin and how your identity is constructed around the color of your skin. And then we have nationality, right? So when you say then we have the Bajans and then we have the Jamaicans regionally, these are all African descent people, mm-hmm. right? They all still African descent.
Yes, with different customs and traditions. And so, like I said, so we're coming back to Junkanoo, which is something like kind of everything culminates into, because everyone essentially, right, is somehow
No,
Aaron, you're illusion. Not what I'm saying.
Okay,
you don't get what I Junkanoo. Have seen
everybody ain't
people represented in different ethnicities participate in Junkanoo. And so when you talk about culture,
no, I say not traditions, all Bahamians, not all people of African descent are interested at all.
No.
We have a handful of mm-hmm. of white people, of people of European descent.
I'm not talking mixed race. Asians.
I'm not talking mixed race, right? Mm-hmm, we have a lot of mixed race Bahamians.
Naturally.
Yeah,
who participate
in Junkanoo. Mm-hmm. All of this is fascinating
to
me.
And even with Junior Junkanoo,
well, yeah, because
it's even more diverse.
Yeah, because the kids are forced to participate. But we want to say congratulations to Life at Key School.
I love the kids.
On their success. Right? We go into the caller right now. For me, I keep thinking about the little video that went viral on TikTok, mm-hmm. Junkanoo practice. The woman of, she looks like she's mixed descent, mm-hmm. but people would just say, oh, that's a white woman.
Yeah.
And they call her Susie.
Yeah,
she was.
But it's more than that. It's also culture. So when you talk about ethnicity and race, mm-hmm. there's also a kind of like a stream of culture in there as well, right?
It's inextricable.
Yeah.
No, it's inextricable.
Yeah.
So culture isn't a separate category. Mm-hmm. It's something that moves through all three categories. Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Miss Green. You guess how you doing?
Good thank morning. You.
Wait a minute, boy, Miss Green, you something else. Mm-hmm. Well, let me start off the show with Happy New Year, Miss Green.
How you
Happy New Year, your guest.
Happy New Year.
I wish you Happy New Year, right? Uh-huh. I think I saw SMT or non-blue tick. But that's another story for another day.
Okay. I got you.
Okay, second thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, did Cynthia Mother Pratt, that Junkanoo costume?
Don't call their name or we may have to lock them up.
Why are they wrong for that one?
It was rough.
Oh, man, they wrong for that one.
It was rough.
And the one for Donald Trump? Boy, Ms. Green, I'm not a fortune teller, right? Mm-hmm. But I could sense tariffs in our future.
Yeah.
I think we can have a lot of tariffs coming in our future.
I can create a law. You cannot make no effigy of Donald Trump. Just don't be. It's okay. Yeah, he can appreciate us.
Let's just not do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how are y'all enjoying New Year so far?
It's too cold.
No, it's nice. It's nice.
Listen to all of these people who want to live in the north.
Yeah, I call a couple of my co-workers this morning, right? I say, boy, I know y'all ain't bad this morning.
How you know?
Yeah, everyone get mad at me.
Of course. Why you let out the secret? It's a well-kept secret. It's too cold.
No, it's not too cold.
Before I go, right, you and your guest, what's your favorite radio station?
96.9 FM.
Obviously.
Station News,
exactly.
Smart Talk all day. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I missed the call. You could imagine the man tell me I didn't answer the thing. And he was inviting me for the raccoon soup, Crystal, and I missed the raccoon soup.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, let's get into the headlines quickly. I got a couple of headlines I want to talk about. Boleg says, era of 12-hour Junkanoo parade must end. Knowles promises new plan after prisoner bus collision. But before we get there, here is our daily dose of positive. Here's our daily dose of positive. The on the clock person of the year for 2025, the on the clock person of the year for 2025 is the Abaco Volunteer Firefighters. That's my selection.
What about the Eleuthera Volunteer Firefighters?
They have a team?
I don't know if they have a team. I know they have volunteers.
They have volunteers?
Mm-hmm.
So you want me to broaden it?
They did have fires last year.
In the year, well, that was
jump into action.
That was on my list mm-hmm. of story of the year. So Crystal Darling Sargent has said we have to expand it to all the volunteer firefighters and the police firefighters, mm-hmm. person of the year.
Yeah.
But you see that Abaco team?
Mm-hmm.
Just recently they saved Abaco. And I'm using that language intentionally, right? It was the Abaco fire team that had the compressor available to give to BPL to get the power back up and running, leading into the holidays, right? And so this Abaco team...
That deserves a round of applause.
Right? And I just want to say to my friend, I don't have a problem saying it, to my friend Leanne Key, who is a member of that firefighting team, right? She celebrates y'all and caused me to celebrate y'all. The whole country should celebrate y'all, right? I'm not sure if they were even deployed to other islands during the wildfire crisis, right? But the volunteer firefighters, they saved so many communities and lives this year, right? And it's selfless. And for the Abaco firefighters in particular, they lost a treasured member of their community in the process of going to an emergency call or coming back from an emergency call a couple of years ago, right? And so Abaco Volunteer Firefighters takes the charge for all volunteer firefighters and the Royal Bahamas Police Force fire team. Everyone that stepped up to fight fires this wildfire season and on the Bay Street, Elizabeth Avenue, Victoria Avenue fire, we say thank you. Y'all are the heroes that we can't pay for. You know, y'all are the heroes that save us. And we say, thank you. All right, let's get into... See, check the text. Oh, no text yet. Let's get into some juicy conversation. Mm-hmm. Bullock says, era of 12-hour Junkanoo parade must end. The era of 12-hour Junkanoo parades must come to an end, Youth, Sports, and Culture Minister Mario Bullock said yesterday as frustration mounted this season over lengthy delays that left many spectators waiting through the night. His comments followed widespread complaints from Junkanoo fans who waited for major A groups to rush Bay Street. As the night stretched into morning and the sky turned from black to blue on New Year's Day, some spectators abandoned the bleachers while others dozed in their seats until the sound of a goatskin drum, cowbells, horns, and whistles joined them awake. Quote, it has to be a collaborative effort to come together and understand, close quotes. He said, quote, we must improve on how we smoothly transit and execute. Are we paying him? Does Mr. Bullock get paid or does he just live off the joy of doing whatever it is he does? I don't want to pay for this. Why would I pay a minister for saying something that I and countless other Bahamians have been saying for decades, and he does not have a solution? Quote, I think gone are the days where these parades should take 12 to 13 hours to finish.
So
they should have never taken...
Right. And
hold on, let's go to the phone line quickly, and then we get back to that. Good morning, caller.
Okay, good morning. I'm calling because the conversation you're having this morning, I may be able to add something to it. First of all, let it be very clear. There were no brights, no mangoes, no lights on those slave ships. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
These colors that we refer to and that we have lauded over black people came out of slavery, out of rape of African mothers. I'm not talking about natural relations that happened, but basically this color thing. There are only four races, the black race, the white race, the red race, and the yellow race. Everything else is mixed. I lived in Morocco for a year, and of everywhere I've lived, those were the most racist people I've ever met because they're not a race. They are the consequence of mixing of Europeans and Blacks.
Africans, yeah.
And that's why they didn't recognize or couldn't understand where the guest in studio with you is from, because basically that's their skin color, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you read Czech Ante Job, he does a whole study on our race, on our history, the first serious archaeological study to get the records right. And what he's saying basically is we've got in the Black race, you have the straight hair features like the Somalians, Ethiopians, the Indians. The Black Indians in India are Black.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that, right? And Kemet means Black. That's where they're from. Then you have what they call the Negroid featured races. Those are the Pharynx. That's Nubia, that's High Egypt, and so on and so forth. What Marcus Garvey said is that Black people would have been free a long time ago if it hadn't been for the mixing up of the race. Because there would have just been one clear race, and the battle would have been fought, right? If you watch the film Imitation of Life, you know the problem that came from children born with a different skin hue, and how do they fit into a society? Well, they're going to go where it hurts less.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to try to pass for white, right? But that's in the Bahamas, I would say, coming from the Bahamas and traveling outside of the Bahamas was when I discovered my skin was a problem for others. And I needed to know why, because I didn't do anything to anybody, right? Mm-hmm. And basically, what I was told is that our race is the original race. And I was told this in France by a scholar,
mm-hmm.
right? If you go back to Greece, the whites cannot go any further back than Greek, because that's where they got the knowledge from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Those, all the nobles, the chivalry, all of that was coming out of Africa. You don't have to believe me. You can go online. It's all there.
Study it.
And it's in books.
Diana,
the Black Virgin, all of that is coming out of Africa.
I really appreciate your contribution. I got another couple more callers on the line. We're definitely going to continue this conversation, because it's so important for us to have a sense of identity, mm-hmm. a sense of mm-hmm. place, and a sense of time. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. Hey, I want to chime in on the topic, right? But I glad for the white people, right?
Uh-huh.
Basically, because if it wasn't for them, right, you realize that in the Bahamas, we have so much color variations.
Uh-huh.
And look at Ilucho. Man, please, you think them guys I'm in Ilucho, look how they look if it wasn't for the white people going there?
So you like the diversity? Amongst our people.
Mom, Miss Green, let me give you an example of how diverse the Bahamas is, right, with color codes.
Uh-huh.
Look at Brave Davis. Extremely dark.
Uh-huh.
But with good hair. Look at my complexion. Mom, Miss Green, I got one caramel complexion.
Yeah.
Mom, this color will freak you right out. Why? Because we mixed with white people. So it gives us a lot of color variations, and it gives us a nice identity, man.
Why do
people love us so much? We have different color codes.
I feel you.
Yeah, we ain't just Black. Look at you. You saw the white too.
See what I'm saying? I got you.
You're right. All the European blood mixed with us, man, we good.
I hear you. The first time I went into inner city in London, I knew everybody. Everybody looked like somebody I know from the Bahamas. A wide mm-hmm. variety
yes,
of faces,
yeah,
different
yeah.
types of faces. Everybody. Here's a text. Good day. Happy New Year. I pray for health, happiness, peace, and prosperity in the future. Have you ever met a politician who had a solution to a problem? They know how to point it out and will tell you they will fix it if elected. But I have yet to hear a solution come out of their mouths yet. I am not disagreeing with you.
They have some solutions, but it's like, will that actually happen? Outside of the rally. And they're like hyping everybody
up. Yeah, it's only real at a rally.
Yeah.
So they have solutions, but they're only real at rallies.
The follow-up isn't strong.
All right, so the unofficial Junkanoo results. One family takes it again, 594 points. Then the Saxons, then the Roots, then the 1958 Valley Boys, then Genesis, then World Way Forward Valley Boys, then Music Makers, then Prodigal Sons. In the B division, Colors at the top of the list, 570, Immortals, 449, Fancy Dancers, 371, Conquerors for Christ, 331, Body of Christ Crusaders next, and then Dynasty Junkanoo Group.
Mm. I don't think the B division is even really that much exciting to watch anymore, and I think this is a part of it, because if you saw in the newspaper article you just read, right, they mentioned that people in the crowd were sitting for hours waiting for a division groups mm-hmm. to come out and watch them. And so this is what happens in a way, like when you commercialize things, because the majority of the fans out there, they came to see their groups. Most of their groups are the A division groups. And so if you have long waits in between and you have the scrap groups and you have the B groups to wait on until you see your, and you're out there in the night, like from 10 p.m. and your group isn't coming out until like 6, 7 a.m. in the morning, that's a problem. You know what I mean? It's extremely draining.
But to the point about the B groups.
And then with the B groups, like I don't think anyone is surprised that Colors is so with the B division, this is another part of the problem, right? I don't want to say problem. The part of the reason why people may act the way they do or say things, right? Because or feel the way they do, because it's more exciting to see the A division because it's going to be it's more of a competition because it's like, oh my gosh, who's gonna come out on top? We're not sure. It might be Saxons, it may be Valley, it may be One Family, but or anyone else. But in the B division group, you already know who's coming out on top.
Stick a pin.
For the last, what, 10 years?
We can take this caller, stick a pin, and then I coming back to refute that slander on B groups, madam. Good morning, caller.
Happy New Year. Good morning, Aaron.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Good stuff.
Great. Aaron, when do you think that they're going to realize that Protocol belongs to the B division? I mean, they continue to be categorizing them as an A division group. You know, mm-hmm. I don't understand that.
Okay, so
we need more public outcry, right? Yeah. Protocol should not be in the A division.
Let me tell you what I was told. I was told the criteria is you got to have 200 or
yeah,
more people,
amount of people,
and that's the
yeah.
only criteria. So we need to change the criteria for participation in the A group and B group. But here's the thing. I'm glad you called to say that.
Listen, even the criteria for 201, they did not have that, okay?
I got you. Here's,
I was there counting. They did not have that.
You counted it?
They need more ministers. Yes.
Is that why they were penalized?
They did not have two. Listen, I don't think there's no penalty in the parade because if there was, one family should have had some penalties, okay?
All right.
They took 1.5 hour to get from George Street, but they're trying to get them to Market Street so that they could put them on the time. Even when they got to Market Street, they were much longer than 30 minutes. You saw, if you go back to the tape, you saw the gap between One Family and when the last group passed, okay? Mm-hmm. There should be penalties. Obviously, this must not be a penalty parade.
But hold on. I heard them announce penalties for the A division on the when they were reading the results.
Yep, for One Family?
No, I didn't. I don't know if I heard penalties assessed for One Family, but they assessed penalties for the other groups.
Okay, if they didn't.
Oh, it was the B division, I think.
If they didn't call any penalties for One Family, that was not scored correctly. Okay?
I got you.
One farm, okay?
So, before you go, I want to respond to both you and Crystal at the same time because I think the problem, I mean, the prodigal sons is an issue, but I don't think the problem is the prodigal sons or the music makers or the smaller A division groups. Mm-hmm. I think the problem are the big groups. I think the big groups have taken Junkanoo so close to Carnival, to Trinidad Carnival, that the other A groups and the other Junkanoo groups doing actual Junkanoo look like scrap groups compared to these Carnival presentations.
I agree. I quite agree with all this clout and all that.
Yeah, I appreciate sort of the point that Crystal is making. Like, there seems to be a major disparity between one section of the A division and another section of the A division, mm-hmm. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Prodigal Sons and Music Makers should drop down to the B division. Let's assess it. Maybe what it is that we need a cap on the A division in terms of how much money you can spend, right, in this competition. And the alternate, if we're going to relegate Music Makers or Prodigal Sons to the B division, then Colors need to go up to the A division.
That's what we need the relegation. You know, when you come last, you come down. When you come first, you move up. There need to be some rules stipulated about
no.
that.
Well, not every.
I don't think every group.
But
when you get points, like when everyone else is in the 500s and 400 with points, and you drop into 200 and something points, then that needs to be reconsidered. So I agree on that level. Mm-hmm. But when you, but otherwise, I agree.
Right, because I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with the Music Makers or the Prodigal Sons, except
not at all.
Except their the Prodigal Sons' inability to get to Bay. But I think that the Saxons, One Family, Valley Boys, Roots, Genesis, Warhawks,
they're in a different.
They've migrated so close to Carnival that you can't make a fair assessment of the other Junkanoo groups versus these Carnival groups.
I don't think Colors. I don't think you should have a group like Colors. Been in for over 20 years. Okay. That, you know, the other group obviously can't compete with them, and they don't move up. That means it's time for them to move up.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe
right.
You might have other groups. You'll have other members join them.
Mm-hmm.
I got you.
They can't continue to sit there.
I get
and say,
it.
Oh, nobody could beat Colors. That ain't fair. Move Colors up.
So
that should be done. And not only that, and about this team, right? These teams are keep on being recycled. Maybe they need every group. To pick a team, you put it into a bag, and then every group pick out a team that somebody select, and whatever you select, you go with that team.
I like that. I like that as well. Although you may have to do it 2 years out, right? Like you pick 2 years out for the theme, and you pick for the numbers right before the parades, right?
Yes.
I like that.
No, not before.
No, the numbers.
The team.
For when you go out. Yeah, the numbers for when you go out. So okay. Thank you very much, eh? I want to throw something else on the table in terms of the 12-hour parades. And this is why I get upset at the minister saying this, because obviously the minister doesn't have the answer. But I can tell you why I know the minister doesn't have the answer. Because the minister can't solve the same problem in his own ministry. The minister can't solve the same problem in his own ministry. None of the ministers can solve this same problem. And the prime minister can't solve this problem. The commissioner of police can't solve the problem. The Bahamas the commissioner for the prison can't solve the problem. Can you cause and compel people to discipline themselves, to govern themselves, to moderate their behavior, and to take on, to commit to encouraging or compelling others to do the same? That's the first thing. Can you, as a leader, whether of the group, whether of the section, whether of a ministry, a department, or an agency, or a family, can you cause and compel the people who you are responsible for to discipline themselves, to govern themselves, and to moderate their behavior? The second point is, can you move at the pace of your own policies? See, if you can't get the first one correct, you're definitely not going to get the second one correct. But the problem is clear, the answer is clear, the issue is that you're expecting people to implement a solution in a space where they can't even implement that solution in the space they're responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the two things. There's no way a Junkanoo parade should take until the daytime. But that's why Uncle Ferguson, when you came on my show and talked about, I don't know nothing about Junkanoo. I live Junkanoo. We've been watching this problem unfold for decades. Mm-hmm. And all y'all do is sit there and key, and we're doing a wonderful job every year.
Yeah.
Junkanoo is never supposed to take place in the daytime. And here's the next thing about the themes.
I agree.
I could bring the Anglo-Saxons back to Bay. What is a Junkanoo group doing celebrating all the European figures in the world? Do you not know what Junkanoo is?
Yes.
Do you not know what the root of it is?
Yes.
That's why I can't go to Junkanoo unless I'm Russian. Mm-hmm. I can't watch it on TV because it's just a bag, a cacophony of foolishness. Y'all don't even know what it is your practice is rooted in. And then we got to suffer 12, 14-hour parades and look in the face of a minister who's sitting in Rawson Square, where the majority of Bahamians will never get to experience Junkanoo, to tell us it's time. I think it's time to get rid of the 12 to 14-hour parades. See, but this problem is a broad problem. I'm glad it's taking place in Junkanoo, because at least then every Bahamian has permission to join the conversation. See, things get touchy when you talk about the Royal Bahamas Police Force and how the force cannot cause and compel its own officers to discipline themselves, to govern themselves, and to moderate their behavior.
Not just the officers, the senior officials.
In fact, y'all can't even stick within the realm of your policy. Why are traffic officers enforcing Minister of Transport and Energy policy? Why are officers assigned to the Royal Bahamas Police Force ignoring people running red lights, running stop signs, driving with their cell phones in their hand, but they're blocking up traffic for hours to look for license plate and insurance? Like, nothing is going to work until y'all sit down and be honest about how it's supposed to work. Now y'all have the commissioner about to dumb down another system in the country because y'all cannot cause and compel people to discipline themselves, to govern themselves, and to moderate their own behavior. In fact, we start the new year not just with one car crash. We y'all crashed a whole bus. Mm-hmm. Y'all overturned the whole bus for the New Year's. You can't get police officers to stop at stop signs. You can't get them to wear their seat belts. You can't get them to stop at red lights. You can't get them to not turn left on red where there is no sign permitting it. You can't get them to enforce it. I saw the smash up with the two taxis with the tourists in it on New Year's Day. Y'all can't, y'all, listen, it's a privilege to have a taxi plate. And 75% of the taxi drivers carry on like gangsters, like criminals on the road. And you can't even get the police to enforce the traffic controls.
It's more than 75, Erin. It's more than 75%.
I'd be in conservative and generous.
No, you don't have to be.
Because I know people, like Shadon Gray, and I know people who are working.
That's like two people, so we could do that to like.
Y'all here with my co-host.
10%. Maybe more. No, honestly, the reckless driving, I don't know if it's associated with the privilege, because you said it is a privilege, because it is.
That's what it is.
Okay, it's a privilege to have it. And then it's like, I don't even want to say half, more than half of the reserve parking on Bay Street and in other areas is reserved for taxis. So they have all of these privileges, right? And it seems like, you know, I just want to say this. With great power becomes great responsibility. You know, that's all. But
and then also, don't assume that because you are allowed to enjoy a privilege, that gives you an authority. That doesn't necessarily give you an authority above
others.
Have
you met taxi drivers? I'm so sorry.
Listen, let's go to the phone line. And go to the phone line. We're going to hear what the caller's saying, and then we're going to go to a break.
Yeah.
Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, man? Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year.
This here corner mate, man.
Hey, how you doing?
Tip top, man. Listen, I just heard a conversation about a taxi, right? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most taxi drivers are doing what they're supposed to do, you know, Aaron. The problem we are wearing, right, is that I don't think road traffic has enough teeth or enough
authority
for the tool to deal with some of these drivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of these drivers, Aaron, I agree, they are totally out of water, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we have laws. We need enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Every driver ain't bad, you know. Now, Aaron, I agree. I see some drivers, the foolishness of some of them do. Being mature is all this kind of nonsense. That's nonsense, right?
Mm-hmm.
But where is the enforcement?
Yeah.
That's what we need to know.
Where is the enforcement?
Most of these drivers are doing an excellent job. I work in a business, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I assure you there are a few drivers out there who have no care for the tourists. Don't care for the industry.
Mm-hmm.
We need the person in charge of enforcement to deal with these with that radical those radical folks.
I got you.
But great show, man. All right.
Thank you. I was trying to be concerned because you know I usually with Crystal. 99%.
I stand by my statement. I'm sorry. All right. That's not what I've experienced.
So listen, I got a text here that says the man of the year for 2025. Says that boy who's driving the person says that I can read the text and then I can moderate the text. It says the man of the year for 2025, worst driver of the government vehicle with the red plate, what was live on camera being recorded trying to flee and get away. Who is that person? Okay, so watch this. In all fairness, it is possible that was not a government vehicle and that was not a government worker. But it was a red plate. Somebody could have stolen a red plate and attached it to another vehicle. This has happened before. I'm just saying, right? So before we say we know that, no, but that's the law. Before we say we know that was a government vehicle and that was a public servant or a state employee, it is possible that somebody stole a red plate, put it on another vehicle that would look like a government vehicle, mm-hmm. and just been moving through.
I wonder if they just take the car.
Right? Because when police officers don't check government cars, then people could get... See, that's why it's important to check every car and not allow others to escape, because it is possible that somebody stole a red plate, put it on an unauthorized vehicle, and moving through the town with semi-impunity, because it's unlikely the police could stop a red plate. Mm. Right? But yeah, I don't know who that is. Aaron and Crystal, I've concluded that some of those taxi drivers are former bus drivers. I live in the West, and I see a lot of foolishness done by taxi drivers.
I think it's a little worse than the bus driver situation.
Okay, here we go. Good morning, Miss Green. Who judges the production of Junkanoo? Junkanoo is a very expensive private street party, and it remains unresponsive to public criticism. We just keep getting taxed to pay for the private party. Next year, we will be right here discussing this disorganization and chaos.
I'm glad they said that, because I have several things I wanted to say about that. So I think, so what we talked about, and this is a combination of you, the callers, and my thoughts too, we probably need to start to think about penalties or checking for the number of members in the groups. And we talked about certain
rules, they have
people,
those rules already.
No, but that needs to be enforced. See, we don't have a problem with making the rules, you know. We have a lot of rules. We have a lot of laws. The problem is enforcement most of the time across the board, like you said. And then we also need to consider the sponsors, because some of these groups have a lot of money. The same thing you said. And lateness. More penalties for lateness. If you late, you can't go on, or okay. something like that. You know, it has to be something that holds weight, where they're just like, no, we have to be there. So
hold on. Let me read from this article.
Right?
Let me read from
and
this
the
article.
And the B division is not a penalty.
Let me read. So being relegated is the penalty, but not being
in the B division
is in itself is not a slur. There's a
exactly.
The Immortals hold the B division as a developmental space. That's how they envision it, right? There's no slur in being in the B division.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But to the points you made just now, I want to read from Junkanoo Grand Marshal fired following Boxing Day parade delays. That was the 31st of December. This is the article discussing the removal of Grand Marshal Dwight Roll after the Boxing Day parade, right? And Mr. Roll, he says this... start from here. Mr. Roll, who had served as Grand Marshal for six consecutive years, said he was informed of his removal during a meeting on Monday night with NJC Chairman Douglas Hanna. He said, Mr. Roll said, he believed the meeting was to discuss preparations for the New Year's Day parade and was surprised to be told he was being let go for being, quote, disrespectful, close quotes, and, quote, not a team player, close quotes. Mm-hmm. Mr. Roll said he made it clear that his approach to the role was grounded in enforcing rules and regulations rather than accommodating informal directives. That's why I wanted to...
So, yes. So I want to leave with this question, because I know we're running low on time, because this is something else I wanted to... We need to think about the order of the parades. We need to think about these themes once again, because some of these themes ain't it. And then, and just repetitive and redundant and just... boring now, stale, trite. And question, are we trying to make the parades sustainable as a tourist attraction, or are we trying to make it sustainable for cultural expression for the people? We need to decide that first. I think that's a core question where we need to start from. And I think we need to be honest about it.
As an intersectional human rights advocate, that interrogates systems beyond capitalism and imperialism, I feel brave enough to tell you that we will, because of our size, we will have to create a balance. We will have to use tourism to fund this pursuit. And so how do we find a balance that preserves, protects, and prioritizes the internal, the preservation, the knowledge sharing, the expansion of the culture and the art form, but also presents to those who we expect to pay for the privilege of experiencing this, that we provide for them the best show on earth.
And I think we also need the education.
That goes into the internal. What
Junkanoo is, the theme should be related and connected to the cultural history and what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of people who are rushing, who are participating in the parades, who may be even leaders of the group, may not understand or not even know the history and so that should help to come up with like these solid themes, right?
Bit more interesting themes.
Yeah, but more interesting.
It's 10:58, yeah. Producer. I was trying to get us to a commercial, but it's me. I bad. But on Monday, producer, all the commercials. We run all the commercials, right? Listen, we got 2 minutes left. I wanted to touch on again Knowles promises new plan after prisoner bus collision. I have to just read this thing quickly. I just have to read it. I don't understand. Okay, here it is. In an October editorial, this newspaper, The Tribune, described the practice, they're talking about the movement of the prison bus, as, quote, an inconvenience to other road users, close quotes, and, quote, dangerous in the extreme, since the prison bus does not abide by traffic lights, let alone any of the rules of the road, close quotes. And let me just say this right now. I'm prepared to shut the whole of 2026 down. I'm prepared to shut the whole of 2026 down and push y'all back into 2025 until y'all catch some sense. Listen to it. It's an inconvenience to other road users. And so what? We are moving prisoners from the court back to the prison, from the prison to the court. A group of people, you could only have max 5-6 people in your car unless you got one of them big boys, you could hold 8.
Not the majority of people.
But they got a busload of prisoners, right? We have a bunch of gang-related activity going on in the country. A list of reasons why this prison bus transporting prisoners is prioritized over regular drivers. Yes, it's an inconvenience, and it's an inconvenience you will suffer for the whole. It's a part of the social contract. Y'all are the same people who are talking about all these people who expect me to drive my car and focus on driving my car are an inconvenience. Why can't I use my phone while I'm driving? Why can't I drive at 7 miles per hour so I could use my phone safely while I'm driving? You are the inconvenience. The person that does not put their windows down so they could hear what's happening around them. You are the inconvenience. The person that allows 6-7 car gap in front of them, despite the fact there are 200 cars behind you trying to get through the same traffic light. You are the inconvenience. That statement right there is a clear indicator that you ain't supposed to have a driver's license. I so ready to push you all back into 2025 because you have shown you took the test. And you, with your own hand and your own pen, wrote out that you don't qualify to hold driver's license. See, I come from a different time realm. I really believe now they turn on CERN in Switzerland, and I'm in a different dimension. Because you have people text this show all the time to fuss me about I must let them drive comfortably with their phone plastered in front of their face. While they ignore accident after accident that they're about to cause. And you already, it's such an inconvenience. Having a driver's license is a privilege. That's it, it's a privilege. And if you qualify, if you meet the criteria to enjoy that privilege, then you have the right to enjoy that privilege. Don't mistake the lack of enforcement from the Royal Bahamas Police Force as an endorsement for your good driving, because it is not. Y'all are criminal on this road, and you care not about the lives that you risk or you actually injure. And I could tell you, because I had to watch a man pay off a police officer in front of my face after he hit my car. Okay? Y'all out here playing on this road, and for the sake of all of the people who only have PMH to rely on,
that's almost everybody.
Y'all stop. Shanta Knowles, pardon me. Forgive me. Commissioner of Police. Forgive me. Commissioner of Police. It's your job to cause and compel the officers of the Royal Bahamas Police Force to govern themselves, to discipline themselves, to moderate their behavior, and more importantly, to cause and compel others to do the same. I'm tired of people cussing me because I wouldn't just let them almost kill me on the road. This is a joke. But this is the culture that we've taken into every professional space. Y'all hear that song? Today I met a crab catcher, Crystal.
Oh, yeah.
He's joining my private security firm.
A very young crab catcher?
Yeah, he could pinch.
Yeah.
Y'all wait, next junkanoo. fall out of line. Mm. You can get a pinch. See, all I had to do is threaten Barabbas one time to pinch him. He's going to straighten up right away. Morning, Barabbas. We appreciate you standing up for the wife. Don't watch nothing.
Yes, good morning, Barabbas.
Y'all have a great day. And Hasty Times, people, reunion of general meeting coming up. Guardian Radio AM with T.A. Neary is up next.
Church jump, crab crawling. Church jump, crab crawling. Cause you're so immature to wear quick, say amen. Cause you could preach about heaven once they fell in the pen. No, 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 this is the Dolphin, this is the Burrows.